Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, once again, welcome to Nighthawks Radio. We own the night. I'm your host, Coach Epperson, affectionately known as Coach Epps. I'm also joined by my co-host, Coach Coop.
Good evening, everyone.
We're going to have a very interesting topic tonight. We're going to talk about, should athletes be role models? What do you think, Coach Coop?
Well, Coach, you know, I need to backtrack real quick before we get to this segment. I know last week we talked about steroid use, and I just need to mention the other night I saw a program on Jose Canseco, who wrote the infamous book about steroids, and it was rather interesting with a lot of regret about the use of his steroids and the anger. We had a caller that called in and asked about that, with the effects of steroid use mentally and on the body. And it was amazing that he had, they talked about his low testosterone rate, his mood swings, it had interactions with his female friend and all the stuff that he was going through. I thought it was rather interesting. So if the listeners want to go back and catch that program, it's on bio, and it's the Jose Canseco story called One Last Shot. But on to our subject matter tonight, role model for the athlete. God. That's been a question that's been around for the ages, Coach. What can I tell you? I mean, do we put athletes on a high pedestal and we worship them? We pay all this money to go see them play, and there's a lot of fallout behind that. There could be a lot of fallout from that.
I really don't know, Coach. This is kind of a touchy subject tonight. You know, many people would agree that athletes should be role models, and some people wouldn't agree that athletes should be role models. I guess it will beg to differ. What is a role model? That would be a particular topic that we have to discuss tonight. But athletes, particularly being role models, can you really effectively be a role model, Coach, if you have no personal contact with the person that you're trying to influence? That would be my first question.
No question about that, Coach. I mean, you know, it's a media market that we live in now, and you know, young kids are growing up every day, and they're exposed to, like as we talked about before, the print media, the visual media, TV, radio, the whole nine yards, and you don't necessarily have to be, this guy doesn't have to grow up in your neighborhood, but, you know, these kids are idolizing, you know, sports athletes around the country, whether it be hockey, football, baseball, you name it, women's football. You got young girls emulating our female players coming out on the sidelines and then watching how they play. So you don't necessarily have to, I don't believe you don't necessarily have to be on a one-on-one basis with the individual. They can observe from afar and watch one's actions. And because of the fame and the glory and the accolades, you know, they want to aspire to be that. They want to be just like that athlete, and they'll do they'll mirror things to try to get to that status.
Yeah, I got your point there, Coach. I just want to remind the listeners that you can go inside the chat room to ask us questions. We are online. We're going to watch your questions on the chat line. Or you can call into this session. Either way, we're going to take as many questions as we possibly can within the next hour. The phone number that you can call is area code 347-826-7278. Or, like I said, you can go on the live chat, and we'll answer your questions as we get them in order. Coach, I got a question for you.
You always have a question for me, Coach.
Yeah. I guess that's why it's called Talk Radio. Interesting question. Remember several years ago, Charles Barkley came out publicly and said that he is not a role model. Even Nike made the infamous commercial after that. He's not a role model. What did you think about Charles Barkley taking a stance and coming out to the public saying that he's not a role model, knowing that that could affect millions and millions of dollars in endorsement, Coach?
Well, I take my hat off to him to say that, Coach, and he's absolutely right. By coming out and saying that he's not a rollout model and that others should be, such as one's teachers, doctors, the local firemen, policemen, you name it, but let's not forget the parent. You know, those are the role models. But you just can't simply say that you're not a role model because he's in the limelight, you know, because he is there, he's making the millions, and kids look up to him. You know, even despite whether or not he says he's not a role model, kids are still going to look at him. They're going to watch his actions the whole nine yards. They're entertainers. That's what they are. They're entertainers.
But that begs the question, Coach. I mean, effectively, how can you be an effective role model if you never even met this person? You know, I mean, I think there's a concrete difference between being a role model and a person that people aspire to be like. You know, and I think athletes are people that many young kids around the country aspire to be like, men and women. But how could you be a role model if you never even talked to this individual? You never spoke to this individual. You never hung out with this individual. You never seen this individual outside of the limelight in the personal atmosphere where people let down their guards and see, is this the person you really want to emulate? You know, that's the problem that I have with athletes being role models, Coach. I mean, you know, these people are almost like a figment of our imagination. We see them on TV, but they're almost not real to us.
That's true, Coach, but you've got to – I think you need to take a look at who it is that's looking up to these individuals. You know, you look at the youngsters coming up today and what they're surrounded with. If they're not surrounded with positive influences in their life, they're looking for a way out. They're looking for anything to get them out of their situation or anything to be greater than themselves. So when – they see the athlete on TV, and he talks about, you know, I had one parent, and I did, you know, had problems in school, and I, you know, obtained this accolade. I worked hard. I stayed in the gym, you know, and I progressed. I was making it to the big leagues, NFL, what have you. And, you know, the players are walking around with these gold chains, million-dollar cars and houses and things of this nature. Kids, you know, they're looking for that. They're looking for a way out. They're looking for something to obtain, to aspire to. And they see that, and that's their focus. Now, their parent could be home and be a wonderful parent, going out every day, great, putting food on the table, putting clothes on their back. But it's that glitz and glamour, and that's what they focus. That's what they see. And they don't necessarily have to have that one-on-one relationship. They're looking for any means possible to get them out of the situation that they're in.
That's an excellent point, Coach. But again, we're gonna debate this issue tonight, and that's what we're here for on Nighthawks Radio. We own the night. We're gonna debate this issue. And one of the things I'm gonna ask you, Coach, is this: remember, for female athletes, they had Marion Jones,
right,
the Olympic track star.
Yes.
For years, she denied that she even participated in using steroids or performance enhancement drugs or anything of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And it finally came out where she was participating in it, Coach, and actually got jail time.
Right. Right.
So, again, I mean, is this a role model? Oh, is this something that you would want your daughter or son to grow up to aspire to be like?
Oh, absolutely no, absolutely not, Coach. And again, I think that in the household where these children are growing up, you know, the focus needs to be emphasis on the education of the teachers. These are the true role models. These are the individuals that the youngsters should be looking up to. I mean, when you look at the NFL. I mean, and you talk about Pac-Man Jones and all these other individuals. A lot of these individuals come with criminal backgrounds. And although 95 to maybe 70, well, I'll say maybe 80% of the people that play in the NFL have clean records, but there's that small 15%, 15, 20, 30% that have criminal backgrounds. Role models, they're, you know, it's good and bad. It's all good and bad. I mean, when you talk about, let's say, football players, for example, you know, you're asking them, you know, to aspire to be the best that they can be. So they deviate from fair play, possibly. We talked about steroids before. But in order for them to be successful, you know, they have to, I mean, there's a lot of things that transpires on this field. They have to be, it's a win. You know, that's the whole focus. They don't win, they don't get the big money, they don't get the contract, they don't perform at their peak. You know, they're not going to prosper. They're risk takers. You know, they have limited impulse control. I mean, they're going to react. They're going to do things on the football field, and you're like, man, how can my player do that? But they're entertainers. They're absolutely nothing more than just entertainers. But, again, the individuals that are watching these kids grow up, watching these players grow up, are looking for a way out, looking for a way out. And their focus is just kind of misguided, Coach. I mean, and for a football, for any athlete to say they're not a role model, they are. They are. And they can't get around it.
Well, we're sure here to debate that subject tonight, Coach. And you know me, I love your strong opinion. And we're at the Keep It Real segment of the show, and we're going to keep it real, Coach. I'm going to ask you the tough questions all night long again this week, Coach. What I'm going to ask you is, you know, of course we would love for every one parent or parents to be role models, but sometimes kids look outside the household, like you alluded to earlier, Coach, to look for other role models. So the question would be, how about that guidance counselor, that teacher that stays after school with you to help you aspire to be better in your educational field? How about that football coach from Pop Warner, Coach, that enters a child's life? How about that cheerleading coach that enters a young lady's life? I mean, to me, they're more role models than, say, Michael Jordan or Walter Payton or Deion Sanders. I mean, these people, to me, are tangible. And they can have a direct impact on one's life. They can influence kids in such a positive way that they'll never forget. But because they don't make millions and millions of dollars and don't have that glitz and glamour, as you alluded to, or that bling, as the young youth like to call it today, if they don't have because they don't have these things, why are they any less than the superstars, Coach? Why are they any less than the guys or ladies that's making millions and millions of dollars? That you know, I mean, I'm heartfelt when I see the athlete bring their high school coach on TV during the Super Bowl.
Right.
It's heartfelt when they bring their Pop Warner coach that they still keep in contact with during the big championship games. I'm heartfelt because, Coach, to me, not only can you be a role model, you can be that positive influence always on these kids growing up. And to me, it's kind of intertwined. That's what a role model really is.
Well, I agree with you, Coach. No question about it. Those are the stalwart centurions of role models. I mean, but you've got people out there in the coaching profession that places so much emphasis on that kid getting to the next level because they're looking out for themselves as well. So you got some coaches who are not the most what word I'm looking for here? Lack of a better term, they're not the most upfront as far as that's not the word I'm looking for. But they're looking to better themselves. They're looking to get themselves in the limelight. And if that means by pushing a kid, you know, to playing basketball and introducing them to a college coach and so forth, hoping to get themselves propelled further, that's what they'll do. And it's unfortunate that that happens because our young men, especially the young black male, you know, they will tend to abandon their educational pursuits, you know, for football, baseball, basketball, whatever, because the message is out there that I can get rich quick by foregoing my education, going to the next level, working hard, and obtaining those things that I see that my hero has obtained. And, yeah, they may say they're going to go back and get their education, but very few do. And I, you know, my hat's off to one of the, you know, the stalwart persons that in the basketball, and that was John Thompson. He made sure that all his players graduated from Georgetown University. That was a must for him. But at the same token, for the teachers, the principals, yes, they're the role models. Those are the ones. Those are the ones that make a difference. And it's just an educational process. Until we place that emphasis, the greater emphasis on those individuals, we're going to still have problems in that area of picking out who our role model is. I mean, for a personal thing for me, you know, I grew up in an area probably when I had three channels of TV. I'm saying my age now, Coach, but there's probably three channels on the air.
it was one, Coach.
But, you know, I mean, you had very limited exposure to sports athletes unless you went to the field or went to the game, and you only saw them on a limited basis, and you didn't really see them on the bling-bling. I mean, I see them now. I have a son who sees these athletes, and he's well-grounded. He's well-grounded. But my role model was my dad. I mean, every day I watched him go to work, every day, day in and day out, to support his family. You know, and I've got a lot of his attributes, you know, that from him. That's the person I looked up to. There's not one sports star that I look up to that I say that I want to be like. Never has been. And that's just me. But my circumstances were a lot different from other kids. You know, they may not have had that parental influence in the household. They may only have that mother who was going out working every day, trying to feed the family, so she may not have been there. You know, she come home after work, fix dinner, run back out, do the next job. So the kid is looking for outside influences, whether it be that guy on the corner, whether it be that sports athlete. And that's what attracts him. He sees that quick opportunity to get money, the bling-bling, and to move forward, and that's what he sees. And we just have to reverse all of that. We have to reverse it to the point where the kids start looking at the teachers and other role models that are positive influences that will last over the long haul. And I'm going to say last over the long haul. Sports athletes, though. You know that.
And you're absolutely correct, Coach, but I just want to tell you, we're going to give your dad a shout-out tonight because, to me, he was an athlete. If he worked more than one job, he stayed on the track meet and to make money, Coach. So I kind of have to say he was a good athlete as well, juggling job and family, Coach. But you're absolutely right. We do need more parental role models inside the homes and have these kids look up to them. But, you know, not all athletes, and we're not going to always talk negativity, Coach. We can always try to bring some positivity to the conversation. And I'm going to just say this. We have some good athletes that is viewed in positive lights, Coach.
No question.
You know, I mean, one that comes to mind right offhand is Wart Dunn.
Okay.
Every year he has a program in Florida where he gives away a house to a needy family.
No question.
That right there is heartfelt, Coach.
No question.
I mean, you know, he can do plenty of other things with the millions of dollars that he's earned in his career in the NFL, but he chooses to help people that's less fortunate than him, and that's heartfelt throughout the community and throughout the world. And if you're going to be a role model, like you're saying, and an athlete, I would beg the athletes to try to do more positive things like Wart Dunn.
And I think that's true because Wart Dunn is one of those individuals which is a true role model where he truly cares about people. And that's the emphasis. You know, you get individuals, parents, teachers, and people in the church, you know, that you can trust. Those people are role models, true role models. And I'm going to backslide here for a second. We just had Olympic athlete by the name of Michael Phelps. Michael Phelps, eight Olympic gold medals, all the accolades, millions and millions of endorsements, all appearances to be the clean-cut kid. What happens? He gets caught with a bowl of marijuana. He's blowing a bowl of marijuana up his nose.
You're right, Coach. I'm going to just stop you there, and we're going to take the caller that's coming, calling from the 410 area code. Caller, are you there?
I'm here. How are you, coaches?
Oh,
good evening.
Good. First off, excellent topic. I actually wanted to touch on something Coach Cooper was just mentioning with Michael Phelps. I think a big part of the problem is people don't spend enough time talking to their kids. And as you mentioned earlier, you know, a lot of people spend so much time watching television that you're really looking to, you know, these athletes and people that you've never met. So when someone actually does something human and makes a mistake, it's such a huge outcry from the community. And I really think people have to get back to, you know, sitting down and talking to their kids about what's right to do and look at athletes as, if you work hard, this is what you can accomplish, instead of you should go do everything that this person does.
And we agree with you, caller. Let me ask you a question. You're a female, obviously.
Yes.
What female do you look up to as far as the, say, you know, in the sports world or even the entertainment world?
Honestly, for me, you know, first and foremost, I look to my mother, who's not in the entertainment or the sports world, but, you know, that was my first role model. As far as, you know, in entertainment, I look at some of the things that Oprah Winfrey has done as a businesswoman. I find her struggle and her life story very interesting to me, very appealing. As far as athletes, I look at the Williams sisters, Venus and Serena, very hard workers. You actually never hear anything negative about them in the news as far as, you know, caught drunk driving or any of those other crazy things. So from just a standpoint of just pure athletes who work really hard, they're at the top of their game, they seem to do a lot, you know, in their communities, do a lot for young women and youth, I'd say they're a great example of two people that, you know, I certainly look at in the sports world.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name. Sorry.
Tanya.
Let me ask you this, Tanya. Would you agree? Let me just say this. Would you agree that athletes are more of an entertainer, and not so much concerned about being role models because they are paid to do a job? And that to them, that's it. It's a job. And when they finish their job, they want to go home and play with their family or go out to the clubs and just be a regular person. Do you think that that is sufficient, that they should turn a blind eye to the fact that they are role models?
I mean, honestly, I think that, you know, people should be allowed to lead their lives. You know, certainly we each have careers and things that we do throughout the course of our day. I don't know how many people could stand up to being in the public eye 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, I think at a certain point, people are owed, you know, their lives. So in a way, I mean, that is their job. It is what they do. I don't think most people expect that, you know, being in sports or being in entertainment means that you've basically signed over your rights to privacy.
Coach, I got a question for you. Are you there?
I'm here.
Coach, let me ask you. This is my keep it real segment for you. Do you think, and Tanya, you can chime in if you're still on the line.
Okay.
Do you think if sports was to be affordable to where we didn't have these outrageous salaries, back to when you used to hear about the old Colt players saying, okay, after the season was over, you could walk into a grocery store and find them bagging groceries because they weren't making such, you know, outrageous money. They were community people. They were part of the community. Is it that if times had changed, or if we changed those times to the point where we make salaries to the point where it's livable and not outrageous, would then this whole stigma of role models be watered down? Would it be lessened? If you understand what I'm trying to say to you.
I understand, Coach. Let me say this to you, and that's the question where I was headed earlier, and my response is, you know, I just think as being a role model, you have to also be tangible to the people that aspires to be like you. And basically what you're saying, Coach, is if you go back to the old days where you see Art Donovan working in a bar or a supermarket, you can go up to him and talk to him. you can be like him. And that's what I was alluding to earlier. I mean, can you walk up to Shaquille O'Neal? Do you live in Shaquille O'Neal's community? And this is the problem I have with these athletes being designated role models when you really don't know anything about their character. You don't see them on a regular basis. You can't communicate with them. You can't look at their good habits or bad habits, or even make an informed decision whether you even want to be like them. All you see is what you see on TV. Again, it's almost like a fantasy to me because, like you said, they get paid to do a job and they do a job well. Don't take anything from them, but is putting a basketball in a hoop, does that really make you a role model? Throwing a football 50 yards, does that really make you a role model? Catching a ball with one hand, does that really make you a role model? And these are all the questions that Tanya said that when she brought it up, that our parents have to sit down to the youth today and talk to them about it. I mean, why you want to be like Jerry Rice because he can catch a football? You know, what has Jerry Rice done in the community? What has Jerry Rice did for his own community where he grew up at? You know, and I got another topic we're going to get on, Coach, but I'm going to just stop right there and see if Tanya's still on the line, how she feels about it.
Well, I think that's an excellent point, Coach. And unfortunately, I think if the Ray Lewis's and the Ben Roethlisberger's of the world were only making $100,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you would have as many people saying, oh, you're a role model. And that's really unfortunate because there are certainly some great people out there who do some wonderful work every day who may only be making, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000. The amount of money you make says nothing of your character.
Right.
And
absolutely.
Nothing of who you are as a person. It just happens to be the amount of money that you're taking home.
Right. And so the onus also has to go to the ownership then, because we allow this to happen. Every year ticket prices go up. We're in a recession right now, and I haven't heard one sports venue talking about reducing the amount of money for tickets for people to come to see a game. If anything, they're going up on food prices, ticket prices. I mean, they're robbing us blind, and we go happily throwing our money at them. I mean, we ask for nothing in return. We ask for nothing for our concession. I haven't even heard a player say, hey, listen, I'm going to help out with the community. I'm going to donate some money to some needy families. I'm going to set up. I mean, there are players, the good ones that are setting up foundations, and my hat is off to them. But in this economic times, what are sports venues, owners, players doing to offset that? We filled their pockets for years, and we will continue to fill their pockets. So at what point in time do we say enough is enough and to bring people back down to earth to where it's a game? No matter where you look at it, it's a game.
And you're absolutely right, Coach. I just want to say, because that's the segue into my next topic of conversation, you're absolutely correct, but I just want to say the IWFL and the Baltimore Nighthawks, we care about the community, Coach. We're not raising our ticket prices this year. Matter of fact, we have all types of discounts and deals going on now, Coach. You can go to the website, www.mybaltimorenighthawks.com. I mean, we're here for the community.
No question, Coach. Matter of fact, we just did an affair, a chocolate affair, that was hosted down in the Sheraton Hotel last past couple of weeks. As a matter of fact, they featured the players of the Baltimore Nighthawks on the front cover of the front webpage of the Independent Women's Football League. And they were able to raise money far above what they have been received in the past. Those proceeds went to the health care for the homeless, which was a local nonprofit organization that worked to help reduce poverty and hunger and homelessness throughout the state. These are one of the things. Matter of fact, we also have an upcoming event. If I can switch over to some quick announcements, Coach. Coach, are you there?
I'm here, Coach.
I'd like to go over a couple of quick announcements to kind of get people to come out and support some of these foundations. One of the major events that we have coming up, which is the Pink Ribbon Bowl, is going to be held on March 21st. It's a Coleman Cure Foundation that we'll be benefiting from. and they'll be working with B. Gaddy's Family Center. And all those proceeds will go to those two organizations to help offset cancer and to also provide food for the homeless. And on that particular day, hope you got your pens out so you can write this down. On that particular day, March 21st at Poly Western High School with the 1 p.m. kickoff, the D.C. Divas will be playing the Baltimore Nighthawks. But there's even better than that. On that day, Coach, there's going to be a $10,000 football toss.
Wow.
$10,000, Coach.
Can you believe it?
$10,000. And this is what you got to do. All you have to do when you come to the game, which, again, as you mentioned before, very low ticket prices, to come see great football, great women's football, and a great venue, one can of non-perishable goods. If you bring one can of non-perishable goods, you can get one raffle ticket, one, for a chance at the $10,000 toss. Now, guess what, Coach? It's really simple. I'm going to lay it down, but I'm going to keep it real for you. If you bring more than one can, guess how many tickets you get?
How many, Coach?
You bring two, you get two. You bring four cans, you get four tickets.
Oh.
You get 10, you get 10 tickets.
So basically you're saying the more cans you bring, it increases your chances at a great football toss for $10,000.
And, Coach, you get an opportunity to help the homeless and help those cancer survivors and research toward cancer. And I'm telling you right now, if I wasn't a part of the team, I'd be getting a grocery cart, going down to the local market and filling up, and be the first one in line, because there's going to be one lucky winner drawn at halftime to be eligible for that halftime toss of $10,000, Coach.
Coach, that's spectacular. And the Baltimore Nighthawks, like I said, is doing great things in the community, and that's why I'm proud to say that I'm the head football coach of the Baltimore Nighthawks. And I also want to say, because not only do we help the homeless, the B. Gaddy, the drive for the homeless, and we were there for the chocolate affair, which also benefits the homeless. We did the Meals on Wheels, Coach. We had a session where we did the Meals on Wheels. I mean, I love being community-based, and that's one of the reasons why I love being the head coach for the Baltimore Nighthawks, Coach.
No question about that, Coach.
In fact, here shortly on Tuesday, February the 24th, we're going to have Fat Bingo, Coach.
Wait a minute. Are you talking about my weight, Coach, or what?
No, not today, Coach. Not today. Fat Bingo is Bingo Night, Coach.
Oh, okay.
Which is presented by the Baltimore Nighthawks. And, again, we'll be partnering up with Maryland's Meal on Wheels. Like I said, I mean, we're a great community-based organization, Coach, and that's what I love about the Baltimore Nighthawks. And we'll be celebrating Mardi Gras. They're going to have cash prizes and surprises, food and beverage, will be sold here at Fat Bingo. Again, it's Tuesday, February the 24th.
The
ticket prices are low $20, Coach, just a low $20 to go out and have great fun in the community and support a fabulous, fabulous foundation like Meals on Wheels of Central Maryland, Coach.
And, Coach, I think they've got one added surprise. I kind of got wind of it. I think they're giving away 2 to 4 tickets to Mexico or something of that nature. That
oh, you're talking
surprised.
About the cruise, Coach.
Oh, yeah, Coach, the cruise, the
yeah.
cruise.
Yeah, that cruise is going to be something, Coach. I mean, like I said, I mean, in these hard economic times, the Baltimore Nighthawks, we're here for the community, and we're going to continue to stay based in the community, Coach, so we can do the work of the people and for the people, Coach.
No question, Coach. I think my hat's off to the ownership. To allow us to share with them this valiant effort to make a difference in the community. And then I know our players, every time they donate their time, that's what I said, they donate their time to go out and participate in these events. My hat goes off to them as well. Because as you know, Coach, sometimes, you know, it's not about you all the time. You know, sometimes, you know, we can have good meals and things of that nature, but other people are not as fortunate, and my hat's off to the players who take their time out to come out and aid and help and to work with these organizations to make a better place and a better living for those who are less fortunate.
You're absolutely correct, Coach. Let's get back to our topic of the night, Coach. Should athletes be role models? And that's going to take me into another segue here, Coach. I'm going to ask you this. I'm sitting here thinking about where we left off at, Coach, and I'm saying to myself, I would like to have a poll on how many professional athletes in sports everywhere, you know, from hockey to football to women's football to men's football to tennis. How many of these professional athletes, Coach, who we deem to be role models, how many of these athletes, Coach, actually go back to the communities in which they come from and give back to that very community in which they grew up in, the hard times that they grew up in, certain circumstances? Not everybody, Coach, because some athletes didn't grow up in hard times, but the ones that predominantly did grow up in hard times, how many of these athletes go back to those communities and donate back to the communities, say, build a gym from the high school that they came from, build a sports complex for football where they came from, Coach? How many of these athletes are really giving back to the community in which they came from? Because I'm going to ask you this. If they truly are giving back to the community in which they came from, with the number of athletes that we have today that's making millions and millions of dollars, these communities wouldn't be in the condition in which they are in. And, again, I say we call them role models.
And I agree with you, Coach. I mean, it's no question. It is absolutely no question. If these athletes were to, and some of them do have foundations, and we don't know all the work going in the various venues, whether it be race car drivers, hockey players, football players, baseball players. We see a little clip every once in a while on TV from the various leagues, in, you know, the United Way Foundation, talking about the foundations. And if you don't see the player on the air talking about his foundation, you really don't hear about it. You don't know about it. I mean, we were fortunate enough, one of the fields, local fields with Rex a couple years, that the local, the Ravens, Baltimore Ravens, put in a football field in one of the local venues in Northeast Baltimore. I mean, that, my hat's off to them, and they had a couple players come out. But, again, I think the work that needs to be done is the players have got to get back in the community. They have this funnel of money, for lack of better terms, but it's not making it back to the community. And I agree with you. There should be better fields. There should be turf fields. There should be better basketball hoops, paved. I mean, that's the key. I mean, if it wasn't for the fans, as I alluded to before, going out, putting all that money out, they would not exist. They would be making $100,000 at best and playing for the true love of the game. But I think the media needs to be involved, your local radio stations. You know, I was sitting there thinking the other day, I get tired of watching the same old news repeat itself every 5 minutes. There's got to be other human interest stories out there, you know, and that's the time to sit there and promote that.
You're absolutely right, Coach. We have a question on the email. Coach, it said, question, are you coaches role models to anyone right now? And I'm going to let you take that segue away, Coach.
Well, Coach, I try to be I definitely every day I try to be a role model in everything I do. I try to be a leader. I'm always conscious of the things that I do, even try not to go through a red light, Coach, if I got my children in the car. You know, I know they're always watching. You know, they can look and say, hey, Daddy's going out to work every day. He goes out to, he gets up every day, whether he feels good or not. You know, I had a good role model, which I alluded to earlier, which is my dad, and those are the kind of attributes I bring with me today, and hopefully it rub up. I don't consciously walk my path. I mean, it just happens. It's so natural for me to do the things that I do. But I also try to go back and work with kids. I also like to work with my players. You know, as coaches, Coach, we donate a lot of our time. And that's what we do. We've been coaching at various levels for in Pop Warner and high school levels and the professional levels. And we do it out of the love of the game. We like giving back to the community. We like teaching. And we make no bones about it. So I try to do that every day in the things that I do.
And Coach, that's why it's a pleasure and an honor for me to sit here and host this show and have you come on each week to co-host this show with me, because you're truly a remarkable man, and I appreciate you over the years, Coach. And I just want to say that publicly right before we play our first game and I get on. I think I'm gonna make that.
I knew there was a catch, Coach.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I do appreciate that, Coach. And I said my hat off to you as well. I mean, you've donated a lot of your time, and we talk about this all the time, that, you know, our coaching does not stop once practice is over. We field calls all week long from players, not only just about football, about things going on in their lives. And I talked about that one player last time that, you know, they missed not playing, they came back, or they went through all the tough times with us football, and they came from meager beginnings, and football changed their life, and they are able to go out and address things in a more positive manner. And that's a credit to you and the time, dedication you put in to these players and these people that, and the young kids that we've taught that have come out and gone further in life. Not to mention the fact we've got a couple of kids now that we had in the Pop Warner leagues that has gotten full rides and scholarships to play football. And I think with the leadership that we were able to provide, not to mention the other coaches that coached with us, Coach Kevin, Coach Grice, we had Coach Bobby, who's down in Texas now. But those individuals have put in the time as well. And that's the kind of staff that we try to center ourselves around, positive people, so that we can make a difference, Coach.
You're absolutely right, Coach. I mean, I think the listener asked and posed a very, very, very good question, and I'm going to try to answer that question myself, Coach. I'm going to say this. You know, of all the speeches I gave over the years to many kids aspiring to do something with their life, one of the things I always try to say, Coach, first of all, I tell people, walk humble, stay humble, be humble. The other thing I try to tell the kids, Coach, is me, myself, I particularly don't like the word role model. Why? Because, like you alluded to earlier, we have our good sides, Coach, and we have our bad sides. And in my personal opinion, would I want anybody to model themselves after me and the bad attributes that I have as a human being?
Right.
Would I truly want that? And the answer to that, Coach, would be no, I wouldn't. And I'm going to say this to you, Coach. I just try to be a good person. I try to lead my life in a positive manner. And with that, hopefully, I can touch somebody to go in a positive direction and do something with their life on a positive level, Coach. So for me personally, I don't like to be called a role model. I just try to be a good person, somebody that you can talk to and come to and confide in and ask for advice from time to time. And I'm also a person willing to learn from the kids out here, Coach, because they have so much to offer. But I just personally don't like to be called a role model. I just personally just want to be known as a person on a walk of trying to be a decent person every day of my life, Coach.
And that's what we can do. And that's what I've seen you do throughout the years, Coach. Coach, if I'd like to ask you a question, and I'll keep it. I think we're still in the Keep It Real segment. We talked about the ownership and the players having a responsibility. What do you think about the various unions within these sports venues, these sports organizations, that once an infraction has taken place, such as remember who was the basketball player that was choking his coach? Sprewell. Choking his coach out. Clearly wrong. There's nothing that you can say to me that will justify that. I mean, he's a professional. He's making millions of dollars. There's nothing you can say to me to justify that. But yet you have the organization, the NBA, going to bat for him. You've got the NFL going to bat for individuals such as the Ricky Williams. I mean, how many chances do you give an individual? 3, 4, 5 times. Do they not also share the blame as far as the influence on children growing up looking at these athletes?
Yeah, they do. They do, Coach. They do share the blame because we talked many times before. And through these great dialogues and debate that we're having with this wonderful forum that we're given and the venue that we're given to express ourselves, Coach, and the fact that you are such an influence on me that you came up with next week's topic again. I mean, that's how positive you are, Coach, but I'm going to just say they do have a responsibility and a culpability factor of the things that they do, Coach, but it's the media, and that's going to be next week's topic. Do the media put a negative spin on athletes purposely to sensationalize, glamorize, or depict negative images of athletes to sell, Coach? I mean, let's face it. You know, we all know negativity sells.
Right.
You know, if we put 15 human interest stories on TV and talk about how positive and wonderful the world will be, we will get absolutely no ad time and play and probably be canceled before we finish the segment.
No question.
But if we turn that same TV segment into something negative and to demean people and to put them down and to show the negative part about a person, we might be the number one talk show in the land, Coach. But I'm choosing never to do that. I'm choosing to give our honest opinion about every topic we talk about and not try to be so commercial, as they say, to get people to tune in because we're trying to appeal to the masses. And I think honesty is the best policy, Coach, and I think it's going to show through on this show.
Coach, I think we got another caller on the line. Hold on 1 second.
Coach, how you doing?
As far as your topic is concerned, you're on role models, and you're depicting or trying to decipher what is the common ground between athletes and, per se, parents, and who should be role models and who shouldn't be role models.
Yeah, we're just trying to make an intelligent argument on both ends. What we're trying to do, we're trying to show that there are people, no matter what we're saying tonight, no matter what anybody says, they're going to always look at athletes as role models. There are going to be people that say, that side with my opinion and say that I'm not going to look at an athlete as a role model. I'm going to look at an athlete as an athlete, and maybe one day I want to aspire to be in his position, but my role models are the people that's more tangible to me, like my priest, like my parents, like my school teachers, like Mr. Joe, the average guy in the neighborhood, and these people, that they're going to get the credit that they always deserve to be role models and be positive influence on these kids' lives. So it's going to cross the gamut, caller. It's going to be people that side with me and side against me. So that's okay, because a healthy debate is a good debate.
Caller, I'd like to ask you this one question. Maybe you've seen this movie or maybe not. There was a movie that came out recently with Denzel Washington called American Gangster. I'm not sure if you saw that or not, but there was a scene in the movie where he was about to go out. And I believe he was going to go shoot a policeman or something of that nature. And his mother stopped him, and she said to him, you know, your brothers and cousins look up to you. You could have been a doctor, lawyer, what have you, but they look up to you. And this individual is not a sports star. And again, I believe that family came from down south somewhere. They didn't have anything. And again, here it is, that relative who's in the glitz and the glamour. Again, my question that I alluded to earlier, had you come from a more affluent community, would you have still aspired to look at, now let's say the gentleman from American Gangster, but look at, let's say for Michael Phelps, let's say you looked at Michael Phelps, and you saw the news on the air the other day where he's now smoking a bong. You know, he's caught. 8-time Olympic champion, now he's caught. How do you see that? How do you view that?
Well, I view that in a way that every person or every human being, and that's the key word, and that's what we tend to forget as adults, that is prone to make mistakes. You're prone to make mistakes. I'm prone to make mistakes. Everybody, you know, is prone to make mistakes. How it's magnified, it's a different story. For example, take Joe Blow that comes down the street and he gets caught doing the same thing Michael Phelps did. Would it be magnified that way? The answer to that is no. And is that fair to Michael Phelps or is that fair to Joe Blow? Shouldn't everybody be on even keel? Because he won 8 Olympic gold medals in the last Olympics, does that make him different from the regular Joe on the street? And the question to that is, you know, who is it to judge whether or not he should be put on a higher pedestal than a regular person?
And you're absolutely correct, caller. We have another email from a listener who's asking, it said, this might be a question for next week, but don't you find people react negatively when owners discipline players versus coaches? What do you think, Coach?
When owners discipline players and not coaches? Well, you know, they go hand in hand. I think they go hand in hand. I think you see the owners because the owners, you know, it's his organization, his company. And it's like a pecking order. It's just like anything else. The owner and the coach is actually placed in an awkward situation. You're asking a coach who's making far less than the player himself to be the disciplinarian, to do everything above to keep that team running, keep that ship running right. So when the athlete does step out of line, the owner now is making the decision to chastise that player because that affects his pocketbook. It doesn't necessarily affect the coach's pocketbook, made in the long term, but it actually affects the coach's pocketbook. I'm sorry, the owner's pocketbook, because that could mean a fall off on revenue. That could fall off on other players who may want to come here. It may fall off on people in the draft market that look at the team because, you know, you got good kids. Like I said, we only talk about a small percentage of the players on the NFL side that come with criminal backgrounds. But those kids that come up from good schools, have great parents, you know, they look at an organization that has problems, maybe with a Pac-Man Jones or some player of that influence that's on the team. And if I'm a future owner, you know, I want the image. I want that image to blossom to the point where my pockets are filled, my stadium's filled, so I'm going to be the one that's going to chastise that. I'm going to be the one to hold that player accountable. Of course, the player's under contract. He's got an agent. There's a lot of factors involved, but ultimately, I think the owner and the manager are two different entities, and it will always be the owner that will address those issues.
You're absolutely correct, Coach, and I want to commend our listener out there for asking the tough questions because we're here to answer the tough questions as best we can, Coach, and I think we have one of the most intelligent listener-based in all the country, Coach, because the questions they ask are right on point, and I want them to keep continuing to ask these tough questions because we want to keep exploring different avenues each and every week, Coach, to open up the mind, because if we can open up the mind and think positively in many different directions, I think this will be a positive show that we can live with, Coach. I just want to say again, next week's topic, Coach, we're going to attack the media. Do the media put a negative or positive spin on professional athletes of the day?
No question, and I'd be looking forward to that, that, Coach. While I've got this quick break, Coach, I'd like to mention a couple of people that helped sponsor our program, and that's Flambini Wear. They're located in White Marsh, Maryland. So those who are interested in T-shirts and other sports apparel, you know, check out Flambini Wear in White Marsh, Maryland. Also, Velocity Sports Performance, located in Mount Washington, Maryland. If you want that competitive edge, look up Velocity Sports Performance. It will enhance your performance for any sports venue. Also, Peace and a Cup of Joe, 713 West Pratt Street in Baltimore, Maryland. Have a time out. Get away from the office. Want to relax. Don't want to fight that traffic rush. Stop in for a great cup of coffee and a place to relax, Coach.
Oh, you're absolutely correct. And without some of the sponsors, Coach, we wouldn't have this great venue to talk to some of these fantastic listeners.
like we always do. It's just an honor, Coach, and it's a very humbling experience to be a part of something like this, this blog talk radio, Coach. It humbles me so, Coach. But while we're on football topic, Coach, I want to proudly announce that the Baltimore Nighthawks are having team tryouts. Yes, team tryouts this Saturday, Coach.
Never too late, Coach.
Never too late. This Saturday, Coach, February the 21st, 2009, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Patterson Park, 200 South Linwood Avenue, Baltimore, Maryland, 21224, at the intersection of Eastern Avenue and Linwood Avenue, Coach. And if any callers out there want to contact me, you can contact me at 1-800-299-7157, or you can email me at bnhcoaches@gmail.com. Again, that's bnhcoaches@gmail.com. I want to thank you, Coach, again. It's been a fantastic, fantastic show having you co-host this show with me once again, Coach. And to all the listeners and callers out there, I just want to say thank you once again. It's been a pleasure hosting this show and having you all chime in and giving us your opinion. And I just want to say, as always, like we end the show, thank you for listening to Nighthawks Radio. We own the night. And as always, Coach, you know what I'm about to say.
I know it, Coach.
We appreciate everyone for calling in with your opinion. Remember, there is no bad opinions. It's
simply
your
opinion.
That's it, Coach. Good night, and thank you. See you next week.
Good night.